When you're preparing for this sort of occasion, you get a very clear sense of what you should say. And I was asked to speak some time ago by Steve this morning, and it wasn't really actually until Friday that I really got what God was trying to say. So this is very hot off the press, and certainly not something that I've got off the shelf pre-prepared and just reheated. And in fact, even through the songs and through the prayers, I think you will see that God has already been guiding in preparing for today. So if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to straight off have the Bible reading. It comes from 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read from verse 8 to verse 17. 1 Peter 3. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Now, when I preach, normally I preach a passage. So I take a whole text and expound that text. And it's good to do that because it keeps us from basically taking a text and then just using it to say what we want to say. But I'm going to break one of my golden rules this morning, because as I was reading that text, one pair of phrases leapt out so much at me that that's what I want to focus in on this morning. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Fear is perhaps the most primal of all of our emotions. Think back to your childhood for a moment. What is your first memory? No pun intended. Okay. Go back a bit further, back to the moment you took your first breath. I'm sure you can remember that. Your first emotion wasn't doubt or grief or worry, but fear. Where did the walls go? It's so bright. It's so cold. There are these things, these fuzzy things that are moving around me. One of them's touching me, and now, ow, that hurt. Your first emotion was fear. And since that first moment, fear has been part of our lives. Now, what we fear is different for each of us. And in fact, it changes through our life. The things that you fear when you're young, not the same as the things that you fear when you're older. But there is no one here this morning who does not know what it is to be afraid. Peter wrote his letter, his first letter, to Christians who were at best being discriminated against for their Christian faith, and at worst were suffering actual persecution. No other book in the whole New Testament has quite so much about suffering than 1 Peter. You can find the theme of suffering in every one of the 5 chapters of 1 Peter. And of the 41 times that you can find the verb to suffer, pasco, where we get Pasqua from, the 41 times that verb occurs in the New Testament, 12 of them are found in 1 Peter. So if you're really suffering at the moment and struggling to understand how God could have a purpose in your suffering, I would encourage you to read 1 Peter. Read a chapter every day this week, Monday chapter 1, Tuesday chapter 2, and so on. And may the image of the suffering Christ give you strength to endure, which was Peter's wish for the Christians who were suffering in his day. But as I say, I really want to focus in on these two phrases. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Because here we have both an insight into the nature of fear and how to triumph over it. So we're going to take those two phrases in turn. First of all, do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. Now, as you can see in your Bibles, you've got your Bibles in front of you. That is a quotation. It's actually a quotation from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 12. Now, in Isaiah's day, Israel was threatened by the king of Syria. Israel's disobedience had once again turned the enemy of Israel into the Lord's instrument to provoke Israel to repentance. The leaders were terrified, but rather than turning to God, they conspired to make alliances with other nations to then fight against Assyria. We can read it in chapter 8 of Isaiah, reading from verse 11. The Lord spoke to me with his strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the way of this people. He said, do not call conspiracy everything that these people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. He will be your sanctuary. So here it's a good moment to clarify one thing about fear. There is a difference between fear and anxiety. Fear and anxiety are not the same thing. Fear can be a healthy thing. Now, those of you that like quizzes and that sort of thing, this morning you have a new fact to lodge away in your brain, because just as we came into church, Britain won its first ever Olympic medal on snow. Jenny Jones won the bronze medal in snowboarding, Ross. So that's the name to lodge away. Who was the first Briton ever to win Olympic winter Olympic medal? You know, Jenny Jones. Okay, got that? Well, I can't imagine what it must be like to snowboard, but I guess fear has something to do with it. What pumps through your body when you're scared of landing on your head must be something that gives those guys some exhilaration. Is that true, Ross? Is that what it's about? Yeah? Fear can be a healthy thing. When you're crossing the road and suddenly realize that a car is bearing down on you, you react out of fear. It triggers your amygdala, you get a burst of energy and mental clarity, and you move. Otherwise, you die. Okay? It's quite a sort of, it gets you moving. Fear triggers our autonomic nervous system to this famous fight or flight response. You can't fight a car, so what do? You run away. Okay? And that is the right response in that situation. Fear is a good thing. I remember one occasion when Grace was 2. We'd been playing in a swimming pool. She'd got her armbands on. We were in and out of the dinghy. And then I got out of the swimming pool, I got myself dressed, went off, came back. Grace was in the dinghy, and I thought it would be funny to tip her in. Okay? She'd taken off her armbands. She went, blub, 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 blub. Well, before she hit the bottom, I was already in the water. Fear made me leap in, all my clothes on, just to, because that was the response that it caused. I was in the pool before even thinking about it. So fear can be healthy and good. When there is a specific threat, fear helps you to summon up your capacities and galvanize you into action. Anxiety, though, is quite different. Whereas fear is specific, anxiety is diffuse. You may not even know what it is attached to, its cause. And rather than making you decisive, anxiety paralyzes you. It makes decisions more difficult, not easier. Your autonomic nervous system is always on. And that, as I'm sure the doctors present will tell you, is not very good for your health. It was just after the Second World War that the Anglo-American poet W.H. Auden published a book-length poem called The Age of Anxiety. Anybody ever read that? No? Wouldn't recommend it. Apparently it's deathly boring. Okay? But the title really rang true to people. And it lodged in people's minds. We've heard that expression, haven't we? The age of anxiety. It seems to sum up the consciousness of our age. Widespread anxiety about anything and everything. Now, before talking about this, I felt I needed to speak to a doctor, and since Colin wasn't around, I spoke to Ian Jarvis, and he gave me the following information. Generalized anxiety disorder has an incidence of 4.4% in the UK. That's 4.4% of people are anxious at any one point in time. Women have a slightly higher incidence than men. Of course, there are other types of anxiety, and the figures only account for those who've gone to the doctor and have reached some sort of diagnostic criteria. It's probably a lot higher than that. Social anxiety seems to be twice as common as general anxiety disorder. And in a lifetime, 12% of the population are thought to suffer from social anxiety at some point. General anxiety disorder, around 6% of people. Panic disorder, 5%. And post-traumatic stress disorder, 7%. So, in a group this size, there will be quite a few people who have had real anxiety problems at some point in their lives. But we may not ever face a real danger that makes us feel fear. But that does not free us from feeling anxious. Anxiety is a diffuse danger, an unknown fear, a faceless enemy. So if you're wrestling with anxiety this morning, with worry, then Isaiah and 1 Peter have something to say to you. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. And then we read Isaiah 8:13. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. Or as 1 Peter puts it, in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Now, you don't hear many sermons nowadays about fearing God. We prefer to think of God as a loving father. We talk about loving God, worshipping God. Fearing God seems very medieval, making God out to be some sort of angry tyrant. But both Isaiah and 1 Peter, although in softer language, make clear that the way to overcome fear and anxiety is to fear God more than that other thing that you fear. Now, you'll often hear it said that fear of the Lord is about respect or reverence, since, as it says in 1 John 3, 18, perfect love casts out all fear. That we shouldn't approach God with fear, but with love. But you can overemphasize that. You have to ignore dozens of texts in the Bible which emphasize the positive aspects of fearing God. There are 300 occasions in the Bible where you find the language of fearing God. Many of them are emphatically positive. It is the fact that Joseph fears God more than men.
The tax on the whole cost, you know, the far more
feared God that they spared the heat. Moses selected leaders to help him with the criteria of them not taking bribes because they feared God. Exodus 18. And in Leviticus 19, we read that fear of God is a reason to treat the elderly and the disabled with respect. I could go on with Old Testament examples, but perhaps the strongest and most clear of all is from the words of Jesus himself, who said in Matthew 10:28, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Fearing God is good because it keeps us from fearing other things that threaten us. That's why Peter says, "Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened, but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord." If you have Christ as your Lord, you bow only to him. You fear only him. So you can be free from anxiety and fear about other things. You do not have to fear what they fear, for you fear only Christ. That is incredibly liberating. Now, forgive me, but I'm going to have a go at you this morning. And not only because my wife was leading, okay? But the response to her invitation to bring an offering of words of encouragement based on the words, the names of God. What are you afraid of? That someone will think bad of you for standing up and not having your words all joined together, not being able to express yourself very clearly. If you don't have a reason for the hope that is within you, you're not ready to give that. Who are you fearing? Are you fearing God, or are you fearing what other people will think of me more? Now, as I say, forgive me for putting my finger on that point, but it's just an example of how much often we live in fear of what other people think more than what God thinks of us. By putting God first, by fearing him first, we are liberated from that. Now, you may be bound by chains of anxiety and fear, but there is hope if you will set apart Christ as Lord. But first, we need to face up to our fear and to our anxiety, even as Christians. Peter was writing to Christians, and he said, "Do not fear what they fear." So what is it that you're really afraid of? What is it that you're so anxious about? I'm going to read some questions now, and I just want you to think about these as I read them. Perhaps they can help you to identify what your true fear really is. What is your worst nightmare? What do you worry about more than anything else? What if you failed or lost it would cause you to feel that you did not even want to carry on living? What do you rely on to comfort yourself when things go wrong or become difficult? What do you think about when you're idle? What is it that preoccupies you? What prayer, if it was unanswered, would seriously make you think about turning away from God? What are you really proud about? What is it that gives you your true sense of worth? What do you truly expect out of life? What do you think would make you really happy? Now, you probably need more time to think about it. But in the essence, all of these questions can be summed up with one. Has something become too important for you? Something that I keep telling myself, I have to have that. Otherwise, my life isn't worth living. Is that why I'm so scared? Because something is being threatened, which I think is a necessity, when in reality, it's not. Has something or someone besides Jesus Christ become the object of your ultimate trust, loyalty, fear, and delight? If that's the case, is it any wonder that you're anxious? Because you put your trust in that thing and not in Him. You're fearing that more than you're fearing God. But Peter says, you don't have to live like that. You don't have to live chained by anxiety. Don't fear what those who don't know Christ fear. In your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Fear Him, and the fears and anxieties of this world will lose their hold over you. So really, this message is such a simple one. It's not got 3 points, no alliteration. It's just those two phrases. Just those two simple phrases. Do not fear, brother and sister, what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. That is the word that I felt God wanted to bring to us all this morning. It's a call to trust God more than all the securities that this world can offer. For your life can be taken away like that. Those things can be lost like that. To fear Him more than we fear anything else. To set Him apart from the cares of this world as the object of our exclusive devotion, love, and yes, fear. If we do that, then He can break every chain of anxiety that binds us. I'd like to pray, and then after that we're going to have a video and song, just as a meditation, to give you time to reflect and to think about that, and to drink in something of the power of what God can do in releasing you from your fears and anxieties. For in Him is the power to change your life and to break every chain. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You that we know You and that You have given, You've revealed Yourself to us by means of Your many, many names. But we also know that, Lord, You are so great, You are so holy, that without Your grace we could not enter into Your presence. Lord, help us to love You, but help us to fear You in the right way, to hold You in Your place as our sovereign Lord. May that truth, Lord, of fearing You above the fear that we have for anything else penetrate into our hearts this morning. And if anyone here really does have terrible problems and challenges with anxiety, Father, I pray that this word, and as we now listen to this song, that, Lord, the power of Christ might be evident in breaking their chains of anxiety, Lord, and replacing it with trust in You. Lord, may we fear You above all things. May we know You above all things. May we love You above all things. For the sake of Christ.